verse of Pass Me Not.
Last verse of Pass Me Not.
Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee?
You know, brethren, it's been a great day. Part of me wish I wasn't standing here now. But yet I find myself here trusting that the Lord won't pass me by.
That's right.
The love of God.
Beautiful.
You know, we've heard, that's what we've heard preached today.
Yep.
How much God loves a people. And we having been blessed with that hope that we're among that number, that He has loved with an everlasting love. We've heard how short we come when it comes to doing those things that God would have us to do. And all of the many examples that we have heard about in Scripture today are pictures of you and I, of how we are as God's children in this world, whether it be the disciples who were fearing their lives, even though the Lord was in the ship, or whether it was those who were delivered by other means, only the next time to still be in doubt as to who their deliverer was or where that deliverance would come from. All of those are us. We find ourselves in the midst of all of those things, and we can be all of those various characters that we read about in Holy Scripture. But you know, in spite of all of that, when we think about the love of God, the love that He had for the intimate one, the love He had for the centurion, or little Mary, or the three Hebrew boys, or Daniel, or any of those, all of those examples that we have as to how God's love is displayed when it comes to His children in this dying world. But yet we're, just like Brother Jason and everybody else has declared today, we fall short in our expectations of God. We fall short in our understanding of who God is. And we fall short, brethren, in our understanding as to the power of God's love. I want to look at John 3. 1 John 3, I'm sorry. 1 John 3. And that first verse there says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us." You and I.
Amen.
Forget about John. John was talking about himself and those there. But just consider just for a moment the love that He has bestowed upon you and I. We can think about just this day, for instance, and all the many examples that we were giving as that manna flowed down from heaven. You know, we can think about Brother Stanley or Brother, can't even remember his first name. Brother Danny.
Yeah.
Or any of the others that stood up here before us. And we can marvel at those things in which he proclaimed. Each one of them. But the bottom line, brethren, is marvel not at these men or me.
Sure.
But marvel at the love in which God has for you.
Yeah.
We marvel, brethren, at in spite of who we are or in spite of how short we fall when it comes to not only our appreciation, but our understanding and our ability to walk in that love in which God has given us. In spite of all of those things, the love of God, brethren, is more than we could ever behold, more than we could ever comprehend, and more than we could ever proclaim to you as mere mortals. We know that we've been blessed to walk in it. We know we've been blessed to feast in it. And brethren, we know that we have been given a hope beyond any natural hope that we could even imagine. When we're blessed to even consider just a small smidgen of the love that God has for us as a people. You know, when we've been blessed to see ourselves through the eyes in which God has given us, and even that is through a glass darkly. When I consider how simple I am, when I consider how simple we as God's children can be, and in spite of all of that, and Brother Dan was talking about the man and the plan, in spite of all of those things, brethren, God purposed that in spite of all of our shortcomings, that he would love you anyway. Not you because of anything that you were going to do, but not you because, brethren, that some one day you're going to raise up and praise it. You're going to be raised up and praise his name. He loved you, brethren, because he's God. And that is the love that he has for you. When John says, behold what manner, brethren, we can't even begin to comprehend what manner of love he has bestowed upon us. Just the ideal of recognizing that we're sinners. The ideal of recognizing, brethren, that we need a deliverer, and that God understood that. He knew that even before we began to understand that, and that he provided that deliverer for you and I. In the form of the Lord Jesus Christ.
A blessing,
brethren. That is a display, brethren, of that love that we behold. Of what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. That he would send his Son to deliver sinners. Sinners like you and I. I know we don't like to think of ourselves as sinners. But understand this. Even though you may not like to consider yourself that way, the mere fact that God has revealed to you who you are,
yes,
is an expression of the love that he has for you.
Amen.
You see, to understand, brethren, that we are by nature, we are by our rebellious nature in the position that we should have been condemned eternally by the living God who would be righteous and just to do such a thing. To understand, brethren, that God held all that, and he still does, holds all of that power in his hand, brethren, that he could have righteously and justly condemned all of us for merely being us. And what I mean by that? We're born into sin, brethren. By just being merely us, which simply means that we will remain in that simple state that we were. And I don't know who it was, Brother Stanley, who was talking about the baby who's crying and so hungry that if he could, he would get up and grab you by your throat. And you think that's crazy? Oh, it's not crazy. That's who we are.
Amen.
nature.
I mean, brethren, that is who we are by nature. You think that, oh yeah, this innocent little child could very easily turn into that two-year-old that rules the house.
Yeah.
Except Brother Jason's house. Brother Jason rules his house, see.
Yeah.
but you see, brother, I say that, brother, not in jest.
It's a compliment.
Because if you see Brother Jason's kids, you understand that they're not two-year-olds that rule the house. You know, and that's an example, brethren, that we as God's children should be laying down as we sojourn in that. I mean, that conversation is a conversation that all of God's children who are blessed to be parents and raise kids up, that's a conversation that they all should have. And again, we wouldn't have that conversation without the love in which God has placed within our breasts. You see, brethren, all of those good works, all of those supposedly good acts, all of those concerns as a parent that I want to raise my child up and to know the Lord, all of those good things, brethren, come about because God has placed His love within our breasts. That's why you get along with me, you see. And that's why I get along with you.
Right.
You know, Brother Stanley was talking about we coming from all different, and we do.
Yeah.
We come from all different walks of life. We come from all different parts of this country. Those of us who was born in this country, we come from all different parts of this country. Would I have ever known Brother Stanley or Brother Gary or any of you brethren if it wasn't from the love of God?
Right, that's the truth.
You see, the love of God, brethren, trumps all of our all of that sinful nature that we would carry about and carry around with us everywhere we went if He had not interceded, brethren, and brought us out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light. We would still be there. We would still be there in our sinful natures. We're bad enough as it is. Haven't been delivered into out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light. We're still a piece of work. You know, it's not like we have arrived. And all of a sudden, we're these absolutely kind and loving creatures. That is not who we are, brethren. You flip a switch, brethren, and every one of us will be back right where we've been delivered from. We'll be right there, and just like that little baby. We'll be right at each other's throats, just like that. If it wasn't from the love that God has for us and is blessed that we dwell and abide in that love as we sojourn in this time world. So when John says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we poor sinners, we unworthy sinners, should be called the sons of God." To be called a son of God. You don't think about that much, do we? I mean, we really don't think about who we are, do we? I mean, we understand that we have that hope. We understand that Jesus is Lord. But do we think about that we're sons of the living God? And that word "sons" applies to you sisters too. I mean, let's not get worldly. That word "sons" applies to all of God's children. But just think, brethren, when we behold His love, that we would consider, brethren, that we are sons of the living God. The same God, brethren, that given our natures, we would deny in an instant. That's sad, isn't it? You know, James talks about that tongue. Out of the same mouth comes praises and cursing. It's weird, isn't it? That we creatures, brethren, we can be the most vile of all of God's creation. But yet we consider ourselves to be the most intelligent of God's creation. Okay, so we're intelligently vile. But it doesn't matter. Vile either way you look at it. But think about that, really. Of all God's creation, we're made in the image of Almighty God. But when it comes to our behavior, and our sinful nature, because we are fallen creatures, but we can be the most vile of all of them, of all of His creation. And I say that, brethren, not only that, there's nothing that escapes the imagination of man. I mean, we're just, you know, we're so evil, we just sit around thinking of ways. Think of other ways to be evil, or other ways that we can get back at somebody, because what do you think that is when we act that way? You know, man, we can spend hours on end just sitting around thinking of how to be evil and how to get by with it. You see? But you see, as sons of God, you don't get by with it. You know? No, you know, He does, brethren, but you know what we do when that happens? We think of another reason for it. No, we would never say that I transgressed against the living God, and now I stand under His chastening hand. No, we wouldn't say that. We think of another reason why we're in this predicament that we are. Surely it's not because we did anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. Oh God, it is not God who is chastening me, you see. But this thing has come to me by chance or for some other reason, because surely I have not done anything that God would chasten me? Me? That's not possible. And y'all know I'm lying, don't you? But I say this I don't say this to do anything other than to tell us, or to show us, that's how we are. We don't like to think of it, but our actions speak for us. Our actions, brethren, speak that which we think. It may not necessarily do what we say out of our lips, but it speaks as to what our sinful nature is really thinking about the matter. And don't we see that played out every day in this world? And brethren, we're amongst the players in which it is played out. And it says here that therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. That is so uncomfortable, isn't it, brethren? Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. We would, brethren, if it were left up to our natures, we would have it that the world would love us. That is who we are. So the ideal that the world knoweth us not, it makes us weird, right? I mean, but doesn't God say we're peculiar people? No. We it's okay if you call me peculiar. It's okay if we are sitting in this meeting house and we're talking. We're peculiar people. But don't let anybody in my workplace call me peculiar, or don't let my family call me peculiar, or one of my buddies down the street call me peculiar. I don't want them to think I'm peculiar. I want them to think I'm like them. That is how we act, brother. To be peculiar, brethren, to be one that this world does not understand, would mean, brethren, that you have been blessed to walk with Him today.
Amen.
You see, brethren, because to walk with Jesus, brethren, to be lifted up and to be blessed to walk in the Spirit, brethren, means that you're walking contrary to the way that this world walks.
Right.
You're walking in that wisdom, brethren, that comes from on high,
right,
and not the wisdom of this world. So you see, it's a good thing, brethren, that the world knoweth us not. It's a good thing, brethren, that we live in this world, brethren, having, yes, an appreciation that God has blessed us with many things in this world, but to also, brethren, to know, brethren, that this world is not our home, that we long for a better home, that we're just passing through, longing, brethren, to be with our Lord. And that's peculiar, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's peculiar. But, brethren, isn't that what we long for?
Yes.
Don't we long for that ultimate deliverance? Don't we long, brethren, to see our Lord? To see Him, brethren, and to know Him, brethren, because we shall be likened to Him. Don't we long for that, brethren? Don't we long, brethren, to lay these old bodies down, to all of the sickness and all that comes along with this old clay tabernacle? Don't we long, brethren, just to lay it down, brethren, to be absent from it and to be present with our Lord? Don't we long for that? I would say that the Spirit that's been inputted in you longs for it.
Amen.
We may not think about it that way in a natural way. But that earnestness of the Spirit that God has placed in there, that's what it longs for. It longs to be united and to go back to the God that gave it. You see, if the Lord tarries, death will come our way. We will one day escape, or be delivered from, is a better way of saying it. We will be delivered from this world of sin and sorrow. But we're not going to be carried anywhere. We're going to be carried home to be with our Lord. That's where we're going. That's where we're headed. So we're traveling. We're just traveling through. You know, one day I get in the car and I travel Brother Stanley's way to West Virginia. But I long for that day that I won't need an earthly vehicle to deliver me to my destination. For we will be delivered not by our own power and our own resources, but by the power of the living God. When he calls, brethren, we will go home to be with our Lord. We won't need a car. We won't need an airplane. We won't even need a Concorde jet or a spaceship. We will be delivered by the power of the living God. So when you consider the manner in which God loves you, and when you consider, brethren, that God considers us to be his sons, and that he has revealed unto us so much greatness in his love, and he delivered his own son, brethren. To take upon himself a wrath that we couldn't bear ourselves. He made him who was without sin to be sin for you and I. And brethren, that is not a light thing. But it is an expression of the love of the living God. Blessed be his name.
345.